Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 7. So that's 1180 in the Bibles. Philippians 3, starting at verse 7. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Carrie. I'm also going to read from Luke as well. So if you've still got your Bibles handy, I'm going to be reading from page 1034. This is Luke chapter 6, verses 37 to 39. So that's on page 1034 of the Red Bibles. And it's all about judging others. And these are Jesus' words. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And he also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? Okay, I'm just going to take a moment to pray before I speak to you. Lord Jesus, we are here and we are ready this morning to hear from your word. We're here to be challenged by you, Lord. I just pray that our hearts would all be open and listening. I just pray that you would speak a truth to each one of us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Right, well, good morning. Now, we're carrying on the theme of sort of the sports ideas. So you've already had talks on sportsmanship and winning and losing. And today I'm going to be talking about competition. Now, it's been really appropriate that I've been preparing this about competition because I've spent quite a few hours this week watching various sporting events and races going on at the Salisbury Area Sports Event. So this is where the children from various schools around Salisbury and the villages all come in and compete with each other. It's highly exciting stuff and all sorts of things occur, as I'm sure you can imagine. But there are three different observations that I made that I just want to share with you this morning. Now, the first thing was in one of the running races, you could see as they all set off, you know, been given the word go, off they go, and you can sort of see all the children sussing each other out a bit as they start moving along, and they're working out, okay, do I need to go a bit faster, or I'm getting behind, I'm going to press ahead, and you could kind of just see them sussing each other out a bit as they begin to move along the track. And then a different thing that I saw was the child who clearly goes out in front of all of the other children. So they are quite comfortable, but obviously they don't know where everybody else is. So they're constantly checking left, right, where are all the others? Are they about to overtake? Perhaps a slightly nervous leader coming out in front there. And then the last scenario that I saw, which was sort of lovely and sad at the same time. There was a boy who was going to win the race, and he was going really, really fast, and I think he was about 3 meters away from the finishing line. And the awful thing happened, and he tripped, and he fell over and was on his face on the floor. And then the boy who was in second place behind him, rather than carrying on, he kind of paused and stopped to check that this boy was all right, which was lovely, really sweet of him. But it meant that the child who was in the third position, who wasn't going to stop for anybody, shot through and won the race. So, you know, you can see a lot about sort of personality sometimes when you're watching these events. But I wonder where you'd be. Which one would you be, do you reckon? I'd probably be tripped up, I think, on the floor. Anyway, it was high drama, all of it, and there were lots of parents with their hearts in their mouths, as I'm sure you can imagine. And that certainly was the case with some of the skipping races, where they were running full pelt and ropes going round their feet, and you're just kind of waiting for that all to go wrong. Anyway, the primary aim of these races was to finish either first, second, or third, as that got you a medal, and you got to stand on the podium, and you got your certificate, and obviously it was a very proud moment. So it was all about getting to that finishing line before other people did. So are there any lessons that we can learn about the way we live our Christian lives or run our race from these athletic races? Now I'm going to use the three observations that I've told you about to think about what part other people play in our race. Okay, so if we think first of all about the children who were sussing out the competition as they moved along, they were sort of watching what other people were doing. Now, if we think about that in our lives, as Christians, we quite often watch what other people are doing, and we can be inspired by what other people are doing, so it can be really helpful. It can help to push us maybe out of our comfort zone. It can push us to press ahead and do something that maybe we wouldn't have done if we were racing by ourselves. And I know that I've heard many very inspiring speakers at places like New Wine, and there are Women's Days and the Men's Breakfast. There are lots of places where speakers have been invited in who've gone and done something very exciting with their life. They've had a calling and they've followed that calling. And we've seen evidence of God really at work in their lives. Now, I was very fortunate this week to go with a few others to hear a chap called Simon Guillebeau speaking. Now, some people call him Simon Guillebeau, whatever you like to call him, that chap. He was speaking. And he's really one who likes to challenge people. So he stood up the front, he had his metaphorical gun, and kept sort of firing bullets at us to try and sort of shock us into thinking about our lives and what we're doing with our lives. So, as you can imagine, he's not been one to sit back and have an easy life. Now, he was born in Sussex. He did spend some of his childhood in France, a little bit in North Africa, but during his teenage years, he went to a very prestigious public school in England. And he went on to university, and then he went on into merchant banking. So he was a very successful man. He was in his early 20s, doing really, really well. But he offered all of that up to God and said words roughly to these effect, God, I will go wherever you want me to go, and I will do whatever you want me to do. Now, obviously, with an offer like that, God took him up on it. And he soon knew that he had the calling to go off to Burundi, which is in Central Africa. Now, he's spent the best part of 17 years out there and has helped to set up something called the Great Lakes Outreach, otherwise known as GLOW. And this has touched so many people's lives. And they've worked with other Christian organizations out there to bring teaching and discipleship to lots of people in the area. They've created jobs, they've provided medical help, they've supported orphanages. They've sort of really met people's spiritual needs and physical needs. So this is hugely inspiring and shows us what is possible for ordinary people to do. But maybe hearing what other people are doing can just ignite a spark, something within us. And we think, you know, maybe there's something God's wanting me to do. But we're not all called to go to Burundi. So we have all been given our own individual race to run. Now, Because we have our own individual race, it's really best if we don't get too distracted by what other people are doing. So if we're thinking about the child who's off running his race but worried about what the other people are doing and constantly looking, you know, we're going to end up messing up our own race if we're too worried about everybody else. So let's try and keep in our own lane with our eyes fixed ahead on Jesus. Let's think about what our calling is. What has God given you a heart for? Now, many of us are called to serve God in our local community here, and it's about taking God to work with us. It's about using our income to support God's work both here and abroad. It can be about discipling and growing God's people here. It can be about reaching those who don't know Christ yet. There are just so many ways in which we can serve Christ, and they are all really important. But are you still trying to find out what your calling is? And I just urge you, if there's something that you know God's trying to say to you, press ahead, look into it, talk with other people, pray about it, read more about other inspiring people, see if you can work out what your calling is. I'm still working it out myself. So we don't all need to be called to the same thing. God created us all to be different. He created us to have different strengths and weaknesses, different passions and priorities. And God also knows the right timing for us to follow our calling. So if maybe he's given you a dream for the future, let's still make sure that we're doing everything we can right now to prepare for that. Let's make the most of every opportunity we have here. So, there's no need to be comparing ourselves and our progress with anybody else. Let's not dwell on how on fire somebody else is for God. You know, what's really, really important is that we are running the race. Jesus is just so pleased that we are part of what's going on. It's not about the progress we've made. He's not judging us on that. He just is delighted that you're here, that your heart is with him. And let's not let Satan get in here and tell us that we're not doing well enough. God is delighted with you. He's delighted with me. And it's a wonderful feeling if we can keep hold of that truth and build on that. So there's also no need to compare the actual work that we're doing for God with anyone else. Because, you know, we can't all fill the same role. We've all been given different gifts. Obviously, we've got our technical people, we've got our musical people, we've got creative people, we've got people serving with children. You know, there are just abundant ways to serve God, and everything is valuable. Don't put yourself down. God is pleased with you. So let's focus on what God has put in front of us and where he's using us, and rejoice in that part that we play. And let's find a passion to serve him wholeheartedly in whichever area he has given us. Now, in the actual athletics race, obviously you have to work really hard. You know that you're not going to get anywhere if you don't put your all into running or skipping or jumping, whatever it is. So, yeah, there's a lot of effort involved in getting to the end of the track. Now, in God's race, it's really important to remember that actually there are no works that we can do that will earn us the right to get to heaven. So we can all sort of breathe a sigh of relief. There is nothing we can do. If I just go back to Philippians, now Paul obviously had spent his life living really strictly by God's law, and that's how he felt he was right with God, because he lived his life so perfectly. But he realized as he met Jesus that actually that didn't really count for anything. It was his faith that counted. So I'm just going to read from Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, where it says, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. That's the most crucial thing. That's what we need. That faith and belief in Christ. So just as we shouldn't be jealous of each other and other people's walks with God, so we shouldn't judge other people from a place of superiority. And as Luke says, as Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verses 37 to 38, "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive." Now, it's quite a sobering thought, isn't it, that when we get to heaven, we will be treated in the same way that we have treated each other. Now, I know it's a challenge sometimes to forgive people, but no matter what they have done, we have to accept that we've fallen short too, and that we need forgiveness too. If we refuse to forgive others, then why should God forgive us? However, if we give of ourselves and our time and love and money to others, then even more will be bestowed upon us in return. Now, thirdly, if we just think about the boy who fell down and then the second one who sort of stopped to check he was okay, that's a sort of God-given kind of race that he was doing. He wasn't in it to win the medal, I don't think. So we have a choice of how we run the race and how we live our lives. We can just look out for ourselves, or we can be like that boy and looking out to those around us, seeing who we can help. And if we do keep focused on Jesus, then actually we'll find that our hearts are just full of that love that he has for them, because if Jesus is in our hearts, we will have that same love for other people around us, and we will want to help each other. So it's about completing the race in a way that is pleasing to God. We're not meant to be competing with each other. God wants us all to work as a team, and we can help each other to finish the race. So maybe you could just have a little think about something you could do this week to encourage another Christian. Maybe you could invite them to something. Maybe you could send a text or an email to somebody, or just share a Bible verse, something to encourage somebody else this week. That'll be my challenge to you and to myself. And in the athletics race, there is only one person who wins. There's only one person who gets that gold medal. But thank goodness, in God's race, there are multiple winners. We are all winners. Heaven is so huge, there is room for everybody. And that's really exciting. We don't have to worry about what other people are doing. So just to recap, let's inspire one another so that we can find our God-given purpose. Let's not allow jealousy to distract us from God's purpose for our lives, from running our own race. And let's really help each other to keep going in this race. We can be a gift to each other. And the prize is there for all of us. Jesus will be waiting to welcome us home when we have completed our race. Let's just take a moment to pray. Lord, we just thank you that you know the challenges that we face. You know our personalities. You know the things that worry us or distract us. Lord, help us not to be too focused on what other people are doing. Help us to appreciate who we are, and help us to find what it is that you want us to do with our lives. Lord, we just pray that you would stir within our hearts a passion to serve you wholeheartedly, and a passion to serve each other as well, support each other. Help us to remember we are not ever competing against each other, that we're all running a race together with the same goal, and there's room for all of us, and we can all win that gold medal. Thank you, Lord. Amen.